You're holding Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the new Perek HaKosev. The Mishnah says, HaKosev LeIshtoi, if a man writes to his wife, a shtar saying that Din Udvorim Ein Li B'Nichsecha, I do not want to have to do anything with your property. Like we learned before, that after Nisuyin, after you marry your wife with Nisuyin, a husband has three rights to his wife's property. First of all, that the property she owns, he has a right, the husband, Tita Peris. He has a right to plant it, and whatever grows, he eats. Secondly, there's a takana that the wife is not allowed to sell her property, or she can't give it away for a present. It's not chalas if she gives it away, calls the man she's married. And thirdly, there's aloha that when a wife dies, the husband yashins his wife. These are the three things the husband has in his wife's property. So what about now? We'll see in the Gemara we're talking about that b'shas they were narusa. And after they made the kedushin, before they made the nesuyin, the husband wrote to his wife this, saying that din u'dvar mainly b'nesecha, I don't want to have to do with your property. So the Mishnah says the halacha is still that hareza oichol peiros b'chayeha. The husband still has the right to eat the fruits of the property that belongs to his wife. Calls the man she's alive. The yemesa, and when his wife dies, yorsha, he also yashins her. He inherits her property. So the Mishnah asks, Imkain, if so, Loma Kosov Ladin Udvar mainly b'nechsecha. What did the husband mean when he wrote in the shtar, he wrote down that I do not want to have to do with your property? Like if he has everything still, what has he given up? So the Mishnah says he's given up that Shemokhra v'nosna kayim. If she sells her property now, or she gives it away for a present, even though usually after the Nesuyin, she's not allowed to sell it anymore, and if she does, the Mechir is bottle. But over here, if she sells or gives away for the present, the Mechira, the Matan, is okay. Because since the husband gave up his rights in the fields, therefore, Imoch Rabbanos Makayim. That's what he's given up. What about Kosav Lo Dinu Dvorm Ainli Benichsecho over Peruseim? Let's say the husband wrote in the Shtar to his wife that I'm giving up the rights. I don't want to use your property and the Perus and the fruits that grow out of the property. So then the Lochri is Hareze Ainli Waicho Perus Pachayeho. He's giving up his rights. He's not allowed to eat any more of the fruits. It doesn't belong to him. The fruits of a property belong to her. But v'yemesa, if she dies though, yorsha, then he still has a right to yarshin, to inherit her property. Because he only said, b'nechsech, which means that she can't sell it. She's allowed to sell it. Re'also peruseya means, calls the man that she's alive. He does not eat the perus. But the din of Yerusha, that husband still gets. What about now Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that lo'ilom oichal peire perus, achiyichtav lo dinu dvorim ein li b'nechsecho, uveperoseyim, uveperoseyim adoylem. If you do, even though you're right, you don't want to have to do with haperos, true, you can't eat the fruits of the karka. But the secondary fruits, the periperos, that the husband still could eat. Unless he writes clearly, I'm giving up my rights to eat the fruits, and the fruits of the fruits adoylem forever. Now exactly what is it called, the fruits, and what's called the fruits of the fruits? This the Gemara will explain later, that the fruits, that's poshid, what grows out of this land. If you have an orchard, and apples, oranges grow out of it, so the oranges, that's called the peiros. Now, let's say there's too many oranges, so you sell the oranges, and you get money. And with this money, you go and buy property. And now from this property again, grows up fruits. That's called periperosayim. So if you told, if the husband only wrote, he doesn't want to have from the peiros, he's only giving up his rights to the petite peiros. But if she sells them and gets money with it and buys new karka, and that grows up again, then those peiros he does have a right to eat, unless he writes that I don't have to do with your peiros, uber periperoseim adoylem. And the Gemara will explain if you have to say both periperoseim and adoylem also or not, or if only one is enough. That we'll see in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, what about kosav lo, the husband writes to his wife, dinu dvorim ein li b'nechsecho, uveperoseim, v'chayecho, uvemoisecho. The husband writes all this, I don't want to have to do with the fruits that grow out of your property, with the fruits of the fruits, when you're alive and even after you die. I don't want to have to do with your property. So then the Mishnah says, enachanami, the husband loses all his rights. Einu oicho peres b'chayecho. He does not eat the fruits of the property when she's alive. V'yemesa, if she dies, einu yor, she does not yarshino. He doesn't have to do, he doesn't have nothing from her. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says no. That in Mesa, if she dies, even though he wrote down to her that I'm giving up my rights to have your property after you die, still he holds when she dies, Yashena, the husband Yashens, takes over her property. Why? I, he made a Tanai, he doesn't want it. Bifnei Masna, Mashakosav Batera. You're making a Tanai, you're saying something against what the Torah says. A Pasha means Midiraiser, Bishim Gamil holds that a husband Yashens his wife. But the Pasha says, V'yorish Oysa, that a man Yashens his wife. So since Midiraiser is the Din Yerusha, you have no right to be Masna against what the Torah says. And the cloud is the Mishnah ends up that the Chol HaMasna, Masha Kosar, Bat Torah, Tanai bottle, whoever makes a Tanai, even in Dini Mamnis, what's going against the Torah, the Locher is a Tanai is bottle, we don't listen to such a Tanai. So Lamaisa, when you marry your wife, Peshasta Nesuyin, you have these halachas that you Yashana. So therefore, even though you made a Tanai, you wrote to your wife, you don't want a Yashana, it means nothing. Still, you Yashin your wife when she dies. Now the Gemara will explain the whole Mishnah. Mara says, first of all, Tony Rebbe Chia, Bechia learned that ho'aymel liyishtoi is not only like our Mishnah says, ha'kisav liyishtoi, if a husband wrote it down in his star and then gave it over to his wife, but the exact same halachas would apply even by ho'aymel, if he just tells his wife these things. So Chiddush is, you don't have to bedavka write it down in his star like, even by Mira just saying it, it's enough. Now the Gemara is the kashom, v'chikosav lohochi my heavy. Even if, like our Mishnah says, that the husband writes it down on the shtar and gives it over to his wife, the Gemara is asking the question, now so what? What does it mean? Nothing. My heve, the Hotanya would learn like this. Hoi milach haveroi. Dinu dvorim ainli al sadezu is two people. Ashutfis, partner in a field. And one person tells the other one now, tells his partner, I don't want to have to do with this field. Dinu dvorim ainli al sadezu, like I'm giving up my rights for this field. V'ainli esek boras, I don't want to have anything to do with it. V'yodi misalekes himenu, my hands, I'm taking my hands away from it. So the locker is, if he said any one of these three lashonos, is layom maklum, he did not say anything. Why? Because what you have to do is give it away for a present. You have to be makna, make a kinyan. And these lashonos, these ways of saying, means no kinyan. Rashi says, layom maklum, di'enkan lashon matona, there's no lashon of a maton here. So that's the kasha and our Mishnah. How could you say cost of law, it helps that the wife has the right to sell a property at least? When the husband says such a loshen, such words like dinu dvar mendi ben esecha should mean nothing. So the Gemara says, Amri dvar Rabbi Yani answers that because of law v'yoida arusa. Our Mishnah is talking about that the husband writes it to his wife before Nisuyin, when they're still only in arusa, only after the eris and only after the kedushin. And the Savor is that when the husband marries his wife after the Kedushin, he does not have the rights yet to enjoy her property. He first gets the rights after the Nisuyin. So there's a difference. If you already have something like you're a partner, then to give it up, you have to have a lashon of a matana, you have to make a kinyan to give up what you have. You can't just say you don't want it. But over here, before the husband got the rights to use her property, if he says these words, he doesn't want it, that's good, like we'll soon explain. The Gemara says, "Kinei Rav Kana," like Rav Kana says. The Yom Rav Kana, Rav Kana says that Nach Lo Habol Yodam Mimokim Achar, a person that gets a Yerusha from another place. Another place means not the regular Yerusha, not the regular case when a father dies that the son yashins his father. Like that's midiraisim. That's not called Mimokim Achar from your works. That's automatic. Like everybody has a father, so when the father dies, the Yerusha goes down to the sons. Mimokamacha means, let's say here, when a husband went to marry a wife. So when you married her, that's called Mimokamacha. You had to do something to make this Yerusha. You had to marry her. Now when she dies, you get the Yerusha. So in such a case, the Yerusha bo, Mimokamacha means from your own actions. And the Rashi explains, we're going now because it's only at the Tekanas Chachamim. It's at the count of the day, Tikkun Rabbonin, that the Rabbonin will misakin that the husband has the right to Yashin his wife. Therefore, if he's Meichel, he's allowed to be Meichel. Something that the Rabbana do for you, for your own sake, like you're allowed to say, I don't want it, don't do me no favors. So since it's only the Rabbana de Galocha, therefore you have a right to say before the Rabbana give it to you, that you don't want it anymore. Like we'll soon see. So this is Rav Kana's Loshen. The Yom Rav Kana, that Nachlo Habol Yodim Mokam Achar, is Odomasna Oleher Shaloh Yerushanu. A person can make it tonight, he doesn't want to get this Yerusha. Uki the Rav, it also goes like Rav's Svara. The Yom Rav says, Hoi Mer Efshi, Bitakonas Chachamim. If somebody says, I do not want the favors, that the chacham make me at the konas chacham. Sometimes, as Rashi says, she tiknu l'toivosi v'yena toivli. The rabbanon sometimes makes the takana because they think it's good for me. But if I myself say no, it's no good for me, I'm allowed to say I don't want this takana chachamim. To go in zoo like this case, we'll soon see what the case is. Yishoyim loy. Ravi says yes, we listen to this person. That's pshat now. Mishnah also the same thing. That this is a takana chachamim for the sake of the husband that he has the right to eat the peiros of his wife's property. So if he says before he gets the rights, before nisun, I don't want it. Even though it's not a good lashon of a matana, still it's enough that the rabbanon do not give you their takana. So now the Gemara explains, Mike going zu, what is this case that Rav has set his case on? So Gemara says, Kudarav Huna, like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says over the name of Rav, Yecholi Isha Shetiyoma Labayla. A wife could tell a husband that any nizoinus, don't feed me anymore. I'm not going to take any money from you, any food from you. Don't feed me anymore. But you should know, any yoisa, I'm not going to work for you anymore. The paycheck that I make, I'm going to keep myself. Now, the pshat is that this is a takonas chachamim, that the chachamim wanted every wife to have what to eat. They know it's hard for her to make her own living. So they made a takona for her sake that the husband has to support her. And therefore, they made instead of that, that now her paycheck goes to the husband. But if the isha says, the wife says, don't do me no favors, I don't want your support, I want to take care of myself, she has a right to do it. You see, at the Konos Chachomim, when they do it for your sake, if you say you don't want no favors, don't do me no favors, it's okay. You're allowed to say no to the Konos Chachomim, even though it's not a Lashon Kinyan. So Gemara asks, if that's Pshan now Mishnah, Yochi is so, Afilu Nusuyanami? So why did we just catch finished saying? Why was the first Teretzia? That Rabbi Yanni had the answer we're talking about that you wrote to your wife when you're still only in Arusa, this Lashon of Dinu Dvor mainly Benechsechom, even after they had Nusuyan? Even after the husband has the right to schus to eat his wife's peiros, still, it's only a takonas chachamim. So chur, if he says now he doesn't want it, it should also be enough. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye says, I'll tell you, nesuya yodo iki yodo. No, by nesuya, once you make nesuyin, then the pshat is your hand is like her hand. In other words, then your mamash have like a kinyan in the property. And once you have a kinyan, once you own it, Then it applies a law. You can't just say you don't want it anymore. Once it's yours, you have to make a lashon of a kinyan, a shtar kinyan, to give it up. You have to be makdim to your wife. But before you make a kinyan, it's nothing. Nothing's doing. In other words, that's that a wife could tell her husband, "Don't support me anymore." There's no kinyan over there. It's not the pshat the wife owns anything that she has to give up. It's every day. It's at the corner that the husband has to support her. So if the wife says, "Don't support me anymore," that's good. But here the pshat is, once they make nisuyin, the husband gets a rishus, gets like a kinyan in a property. So once he gets the kinyan, then he can't give it up anymore. Then it will apply our kashi that you have to use the lashon of a matana. That's what Rabbi Yanni had to say, that the pshat now mishnah is that you are giving up your rights before you even received a schus in the property. Before nisuyin, the husband says, writes his wife, he doesn't want a property, he doesn't want the schus to eat the peiros. So if he does this beforehand, then that's called a good silik, like you don't want what the Rabbanim want to give you. Rav Omar, Rabbi says another terrorist says, last kasha, why not even in the suya? Rav Omar, yodo, yadifu mi yodo. No, his hand is even greater and even stronger than her hand. Not only are they like equal shutfis, like Abaye wanted to say, but Rav even says stronger. Rav says that his hand is even greater than her hand. Like he's the bounder, he's the owner now. And the Gemara says, now, if Kamina, the difference between these two answers are the Shemeris Yavam, in a case where her husband died and the brother is still alive, so she's a Shemeris Yavam. So the question is now, are they like Shutfis or not? Could the Yavam make it tonight? He doesn't want to have the Schus to eat the Paris of a property. If it's like a Bayestam that Yodok Yodo, so he can't make the tonight anymore. But if it's like Rav, because it's Yodo Yadifu Miyodo, that you won't have by a Shemeris Yavim. By a Shemeris Yavim, you don't have this Svara that his hand is greater than her hand yet. Right. Moses says, now we boil you. I have a question like this. Some on the last case, the Gemara we brought down, that if somebody, if one partner tells his other partner, I don't want to have to do with your property, with this property, it means nothing. That's not a lush and it's not a way of giving away a present. So therefore, it means nothing what you said, you still own it. But now we have a question, if you said this Lashon, or you even wrote it down in the Shtar, you said, Ainli Esek, Ainli Esek Besadazu. But now we boil the hukana miyadoi mahu. You also made a kinyan. You took out your handkerchief like and you made a kinyan chalipin. You also made a kinyan chalipin on this ksiva that you said, like yodoi misalekes imenu. So the question is, what did you mean to do when you made this kinyan right now? So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef holds that midinu dvorim kana miyadoi. The handkerchief, the kinyan chalipin, now you only meant to make strong the words that you said. The words that you said, I don't want to have to do with this property, you wanted to make it strong. So therefore again, nothing is chal, since you didn't make a new kinyan like, this kinyan does not take effect. Rav Nachman says no, I'll tell you, migufo shakarka konam yodai. Since he took out his handkerchief now, like the kli, and made a kinyan chalipin, we say he meant more than just the lashon of dinu dvor mainly b'nechzecha. What he meant to say is that I'm giving you for present now my share in the property. So then it's called a good kinyan. That's Rav Nachman's svara. Since he made a ma'isa kinyan here, is megufoy shal karka konam yodai. And we'll soon see that's the way we hold. So Omer Abaye, first Abaye says that mistavro, the svara goes, that Nilsa the Rabbi Yosef. When should I hold like Rabbi Yosef that says that the Kenyan is no good, that he only meant to be mechazik, his lashon of yodei mislekes mimenu, that's b'oirer. If right away, right after we made the Kenyan, he started to argue and say, nothing doing, I want back my portion. So right away he starts to argue, we see he never really meant to give it away. I will be oimid, let's say, no, a day passed by, 2 days passed by, and he didn't complain yet. At first, on the third day, he starts to complain, says he wants to share back. Then I'll tell you, then Rav Nachman's svar applies. That since he kept quiet for a day or two, he really meant to be makna to give it away for a present. And the reason why he's changing his mind after 2 or 3 days is because people talked him into it. People told him, look, what do you do to yourself? You own the property, you were a shutif, and you gave it up, what do you do? So then it's mistava Rav Nachman's svar to say that when he made the kinyan, he really meant to give it up. He really meant now to make a ma'isa maton, like a ma'isa kinyan, to give up his share. That's the way Abaye wanted to say. Is Amar Amemar, so Amemar said back, Yishuno Hilchasa, what's the halacha in all cases, like Rav Nachman, that migufa shalkarka korna miyodai? No, in all cases, whenever the person made a ma'isa kinyan chalipinel, after he said these words of yodai mislekes imenu, ein li yesek bo, which is no good, but now if he goes and makes a kinyan, a chlipin, that is good. We say he means to give up his rights and the goof of the karka to make a makes a kinyan now, and therefore the kinyan is chal, he's no more partner in the property anymore. Omalei Ravashi, so Ravashi said back la meima to meima. What do you mean to say? Do you mean to say, even in the case where he argues right away, and that's not like Abaya? Maybe you mean like Abaya only in the case where he kept quiet for a day or two. Then we see he really meant to give away it for a kinyan. And l'mayna af kumina, what's the difference? Look at Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef. That there would be a case known as ba'oirer, where the person complains right away, then the loch would be like Rabbi Yosef, to say that he did not really mean to give away the kinyan. He only meant to be mechazik his dibur of yodei mislekes imenu. And that's why he argued back right away to say, I never really meant to give it away. So that's what he asked back to Amema, what did you really mean to say? Is Amalei, so Amemar answered back, Lei Shmili. Like I did not hear what Rabbi Yosef said. Kloimar, Lei Svirili, I don't hold from Rabbi Yosef at all. In other words, he passes like Rav Nachman, that at any time, even though first he's the Shutif, the partner, first said the Lashon of Yodai Mislekes Imenu, Ein Li Yesek Bo, but then if he goes to make a Ma'isa Kinyan, by making the Kinyan, that shows he really wants to give it away for Matana, then the Matana Rizchal. And if he wants to retract later, he has no right. He has no right to be chayzer. He gave it away for a present. The matoner is chal. Yeah. Then the Mark explains. Then the Mishnah says, "Vaitim came lo makos of lo." Like once you're telling me that even though the husband writes dinu dvor mainly benechsecho, and we're saying now he wrote it by darusa, so it means something that is giving up his rights to receive the tekonas chachamim, even though it's not a strong lashon of a matoner, it's good. So the Mishnah says, but still the husband has a right to eat the peiros. And still he yashins his wife. So the Mishnah Sims came, if so, for what purpose did he write it? In other words, what schus did he give up? So the Mishnah says he gave up the rights that if she sells it now, gives it away from Matana, the sale is good, or the present is good. Now the Mishnah Kasher v'tein malei. Why can't the wife tell the husband, you should know, mikol mili salikto nafshecha? Now, from everything you took your rishus, your possession away. In other words, the wife now has the shtar. She has this document saying that the husband took away his rights from her property. So why can't she say to him, listen, you took away your rights from everything. To stam, it's a general way of saying that you don't want anything to do with her property. So why can't she say, listen, you should not have a right anymore to eat my fruits. You should not have the right to yashin me anymore. Why can't she say that? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Yishno, the klal is that Yad Baal HaShtar Ala Techtoina. When you have a shtar, like here the wife has a shtar, that she wants to take away something from somebody else, whenever you're going to collect something with a shtar, take away from somebody else, you could only take away or get from somebody else what it says exactly in the shtar. If we have a doubt what it means, you always lose out. We always say, Minasofik, it means the least. The least amount you have, the least rights you have to take away. Zira doesn't say exactly clearly which rights the husband gave up in her property. So therefore, when she comes to complain and says he gave up all his rights, we say no, it's only the least right that he has, that's what he meant to give up. Because she is coming to take away from him his rights. So it has to say clearly in the shtar. All it said in the shtar was, Dinu dvorm ein li b'nechsecha. I don't want to have to do with your property. Now exactly what part of the property he didn't say. So therefore, she could only take the least amount, that the least rights that he has. So therefore, Marishma, the least rights that he has is this right, that if she goes and sells it, gives it for present, it's not chal, the present is no good, so that right he gave up. Therefore we say, if she sells it, gives it away for present, the sale is okay, or the present is good. That's Pshana Mishnah. So the Mari asked the question, why? Why don't we say the least rights he has is to eat the fruits? That doesn't have to do with the guf of the karka. The other two things have to do with the guf of the karka. The Yerusha, eventually you're going to yashin the capital, the property itself. If she sells it, you lose out the property itself. So why don't we say those two things he means to keep? He only meant to give up the rights of the fruits, which is not so bad because he'll always have the capital there. So Abaye says, no, the svar is boitzino tav mikro. There's an expression to say that a small pumpkin is better than a big pumpkin. If you have a small pumpkin on hand that's usable right now, it's better than a big pumpkin out in the field he can't use right now. So in other words, what it means to say is the inyan that the husband eats the fruits of her property, that's something that he sees and has right now. He has the fruits, he has what to eat, he has something. So that he doesn't give up so fast. That means much more to him. Therefore, for sure, that would be the last thing he would give up. For the Morbiyayim, if so, let's say Nirusha, maybe the husband gave up the rights of yashning his wife, like he doesn't think his wife is going to die. It's not so shchir for his wife to die. So why do you say the least thing that he gives up is her rights to sell it? Why don't we say he gives up his rights to yashin, to inherit his wife? So Rabbi says, the svar is like this. I tell you, Misa shchicha mechira la shchicha. Misa is more shchich, happens more often than the case that a lady, your wife, would sell her property. Why? Well, some say, v'chi mesalek imish nashe, when a person gives up his rights, I tell you, mimilsad la shchich. He gives up his rights from something that doesn't happen anyway. It doesn't happen too often. So therefore he feels like he's not giving up so much. In other words, not a derech, it's not a manner for a lady to go and sell a property. And the frat here is the property from the Beis Aviho, is the property she inherited from her father. Usually a lady does not want to sell these things. So it's no shchiach at all that she should want to sell it or give it away. Therefore the husband feels pretty secure that she'll never do it. Therefore he feels that's the least that he's giving up. But rather mi milsa de shchiach, rather than milsa that shchiach, is le mesalak inish nashi, that you don't give up your rights so much. So mashm, it's more shchiach, it could happen faster, that your wife will die, then your wife will sell her property. Therefore the husband did not give up the rights to yashin his wife if she dies, but rather the least that he's worried about is to give up this rights, that if she sells it, or if she gives it away, the sale is good. Rav Ashi is another pshat. Rav Ashi is the pshat. Now Mishnah is like this. Not only because Yad Balashtar Al Tachtoina, but rather it says that's clearly what it means in the shtar itself. Rav Ashi Yama B'Nechsecha, he said, Yodi Meselech, Ainli, his lashon was, Dinu Dvorim Ainli B'Nechsecha, in your property. So we darshin V'Loi B'Perusayim. He didn't mean to give up the rights to eat the fruits. He only said benichsecho in your nechosim, and benichsecho means for loyli achamisa, mashma, when it still belongs to you. That's what I'm not. That's what I'm giving up my rights, the actual property when it still belongs to you. But after she dies and it doesn't belong to her anymore, then he never gave up those rights. So therefore, the Yerusha, the husband, still keeps. The Peiris, the husband, still keeps. The only thing he gave up, the only power that he has, that he gave up, was the fact that B'nechsecha, the actual property itself, if she wants to sell it, it's okay, the sale takes place. But more than that, he did not mean to give up. Fighter. Rabbi Yehuda says, Le'olam lo'oicha peri peris. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in a case where her husband says, I don't want to have to do with your peris, so Tanakhama says the husband cannot eat any more fruits. Rabbi Yehuda makes a difference, but you should know, peri peris, the second degree of peris, that you are still allowed to eat. So Tana Rabbanim, we learn that the Bryce explains, Elu hain peris, v'elu hain peri peris. What's considered peris itself, that the husband gave up the right not to eat? And what's considered peri peris, that we say the husband did not give up his rights to eat? So a case is like this, a regular case, that she inherits a father, she brings in karka, v'yosu sa peris, and her first, the karka, the property, produces fruits. Harei hain peris. The first fruits that grow off a property, that's called the peris. And if the husband gave up his rights to eat it, he can't eat these fruits anymore. Mocha peris, let's say there were a lot of peris, a lot of leftover peris, too much, she couldn't eat them all. So she sold them. And with the money, v'lochach me'an karka, she bought property. V'yosos the peris, and now these karka, this property, produced more fruits. That's called harehen periperis. That's called periperis. That even though the husband gave up the rights to eat the first fruits, what she has to do now is sell the fruits and buy karka. And what grows off this karka, the husband is allowed to eat. Until he writes that I don't want to have to do with peris or periperis, adoilam. So now the Gemara is mesupik. Iboilu, we have a question like this. The Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, periperis dafka, is it enough that the husband says I don't want to have to do with your peris and with the periperis, and you don't have to say adoilam? Oy, maybe, oy, duma, maybe, adoilam dafka. The main thing is you have to say forever. It's not enough just to say you don't want the periperis, but you have to say adoilam. Oy, duma, maybe, tavayo dafka. Maybe you have to say both of them. You have to say, dinu tvorim ainli b'nechsecho v'periseim v'periperiseim adoilam, like our Mishnah says. Maybe you have to say all these three lashonos. And now the Gemara will explain what the tzadim, what the tzad to say, why should you have to say that you have to say all three of them. Mostly like this, im tim slim, if you want to tell me, peri peris dafka, that's enough just to say, ein li yesek v'nechsecha v'peris u'v'peri peris, that's enough. You don't have to say adoilam. So maybe you could ask the question then, adoilam lomali? So why does the Mishnah write adoilam forever? So I'll tell you, that wouldn't be a kasha. I'll tell you, hokamashvalon. This is what the Mishnah means to tell us, that kivon, the cost of law, peri peris, as long as the husband wrote in the shtar, I don't have to do with your peris. And periperis, you should know, command the cost of law ad olam domi. It's as if he wrote that he's not going to have anything to do with it forever. So it's enough really just to write periperis. And that includes ad olam. So therefore, maybe that's all you have to write, is just, I don't have to do with your periperis and periperis. Now, v'yim tim slim, if you want to tell me no, that ad olam dafka, the main thing you have to write is forever. And if you don't write down forever, then the husband is allowed to eat the second degree or third degree of peris. So periperis lomali, why did the husband have to write the word periperis altogether? Let him just say, dinu dvor meindi b'nechsecha b'perisayim ad olam. What does he have to put down? The periperis. So I'll tell you, lomali, the Gemara says, no, hokamashmalon. This is what the Mishnah means to teach us, that I forgot the cost of la periperis. Even though the husband wrote, I don't have to do with your peris and periperis, you should know, he cursed of lo adai lamin. If he also writes forever, then he can't eat anything. But Eloi, if he doesn't write it, loy, if he doesn't write adai lam, then I will tell you, all he meant to say is he can't eat the first peris, and not the second peris. But maybe the third and fourth and fifth peris, maybe he could eat. The third peris would be the exact same case. The second property she ate, there was leftover fruits, they sold it, she got more money, and she bought new karka. Could happen a fourth, fifth time. So if he doesn't write adoilam, it could be he is allowed to eat after the third time, after the fourth time. So maybe after rent ad oilam, maybe that's the main thing. All right, turn over.